load with.
And
so I think that.
And finally, your comment on the U.S. and other wealthy members of the World Trade Organization blocking a push by developing countries to waive patent rights in an effort to boost the ability to get vaccines out to the world.
Well, I was very much involved in a similar situation some 15 years ago. That was a Republican government, and we were able to discuss the, it's very famous, the Doha Declaration on Trips and Health, which is part even of the Agenda 2030 of the United Nations, and so on and
so
forth.
We just have 10 seconds.
So I really regret this position of the United States. I think it's not. I mean, you can't be look for social justice internally and play egoistically in the international scenario. I think the pandemic is a world problem, and I think you have to facilitate the access to medicines and to vaccines, above all, in an equitable way.
Kelso Amorim, I want to thank you so much for being with us.
I'm
sorry we've run out of time. Brazil's former foreign minister and defense minister. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for a senior news producer to join our news team here in New York City. Check it out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is the battleground.
Hi, I'm Jeff Rosenberg. Tune in to the Song Circle every Friday afternoon at 1:30 p.m.
Turn their backs on the grisly scenes, traced to the privileged sons. And your death will come soon.
You never know what you'll hear next.
Indeed, and this is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. It's Friday. And once again, mind that gap, because the girls are back and we are powerful. So stay tuned to your community connection.
Good morning. How are you? You're listening to KBOO Portland. We are here on The Gap. It's been a while. I missed you. I'm Tammy, and on the line with me is the amazing, fantastic, radiant Althea. Who are you, Althea?
Hello. I'm also super excited to be back. We were off last week. We wish we could have been here, but we're here now to talk with you.
Yes. Talk with you, and we're super stoked. Also, Sonia, like always, thank you, our radio angel doing the thing. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Kind of a rad nickname you composed there.
Yeah. I'm the radio angel.
I've been working on her. My terrestrial angel.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but we are back. A lot of things have been happening.
Yeah.
And we're happy to talk with you all about it.
Pretty painful that we couldn't be here last week to talk about the boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal.
You love that boat, Althea.
I just think it's really funny. And there's been some great memes about it. There was, once it got unstuck, there's a petition and it trended on Twitter to put it back. You know,
I missed that one.
Then or there was another petition, which change.org petitions, not all of them are incredibly impactful and meaningful. Another one, there was another one that's like, put a second boat there, put another one in, can we embed another boat in the bank? But just a comedy of errors that doesn't have, you know, the economy, yeah, is the world economy is the victim. So, you know, are we really that broken up about it?
It was so to see that I was amazed at how the moon helped the tides, and that's how the boat it helped it get unstuck and on its way. And that was just, that really blew my mind, because we got to remember nature has been here and will probably stay here long after us. So that little bit of humility, like you're saying, it was a very layered thing, but it got out. I hope no one puts another boat in there, because we saw that was no good. All it took was just a little dry land, and the world economy just didn't know what to do with itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Guess we're going back to the old trade route. Got to go all the way around the Horn of Africa if you want to get between these oceans. Kind of retro, you know? Kind of nostalgic. Kind of a throwback.
Analog.
Like the 1700s. Yes. Kind of an analog world trade system. I don't know if you guys can appreciate that.
Maybe if the boat knew about Bitcoin, it would be able to wedge itself out. But,
The boat's captain might have been too busy
crypto
in Bitcoin
shipping
down in Robinhood, knocked into the bank and got stuck. They sent one backhoe to dig it out. That was nice of them. They sent one.
I'm still trying to understand cryptocurrency. I don't get it. I appreciate that it's a concept, and I respect that I don't understand it. I try to get to understand a little bit more, but every time I read about it, I'm like, this is a scam. Although I'm sure that it's just my mediocre understanding of it. But hopefully, the whole idea of like decentralizing things is definitely like a mantra that's been on, going on and on. So I can see that being a thing. But maybe the captain of the ship, was it the Evergreen or the Evergive, was
Ever Given, I think. Yeah.
Ever Given in their Bitcoin purchases to notice that dry spot.
Yeah.
But again,
computers can't tell us everything, I guess, is the moral of the story.
Well,
they
certainly blocked the chain of commerce going through the through the canal.
I'm clapping.
Nice.
Clapping. That was a good pun.
But other than that, in the news, we've been having, I mean, there's been a lot of pop culture, a lot of culture stuff, but also a big trial that is kind of in a lot of people's minds and been being broadcasted as well. I think that you have a piece of audio for us, kind of giving a bit of the analysis or kind of describing the chain of events of the Derek Chauvin trial that is currently still taking place.
Yeah, so this week was the first week of the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd in May of 2020 by kneeling on his neck for, as we're finding out in the course of this trial, over 9 minutes, actually. So we have some audio to catch us up on what's been happening this week. This is from the Racial Reckoning Project. Sonia, you got it?
Energy remains high throughout the city of Minneapolis, with nearly 1,000 protesters taking to the streets following the first day of the Derek Chauvin trial. The prosecution held nothing back in opening statements, showing the viral video of George Floyd's death within the first 30 minutes of the trial.
I can't breathe.
Let me get in the car.
Mama.
Get up. We're getting in the car right.
During the prosecution's opening statements, Attorney Blackwell presented a timeline that revealed Derek Chauvin kept his knee on George Floyd's neck for more than 4 minutes after he became unresponsive.
Doesn't get up even when the paramedic comes to check for a pulse and doesn't find one. You will see that the paramedics have taken the gurney, have rolled it over next to the body, and you'll be able to see Mr. Chauvin still does not let up, doesn't get up.
The defense argued George Floyd was killed not by Derek Chauvin, but by a combination of the drugs in his system and pre-existing health issues. Donald Williams was a bystander who yelled for Chauvin to stop as he was kneeling on George Floyd's neck. With a background of mixed martial arts, Williams is presented as an expert. He gave the jury a breakdown on the type of moves Chauvin was using and how he knew immediately that Floyd's life was in danger.
He was going through distress because of the knee, and he vocalized it that I can't breathe, I need to get up, and I'm sorry. And his eyes slowly rolled to the back of his head.
Members of George Floyd's family, their lawyers, and the Reverend Al Sharpton knelt in silence for 8 minutes and 46 seconds in front of the federal courthouse Monday morning. They say while Derek Chauvin may be in the courtroom, it's America's justice system that's on trial. Intensity continues to build in the courtroom following yet another day of emotional testimony.
Wait a minute.
A 61-year-old man who witnessed the death of George Floyd, Charles McMillan, broke down on the stand when the prosecution replayed footage of the moments leading up to Floyd's death. In the footage, you can hear McMillan pleading with Floyd.
You can't win.
I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to win. I'll get on the ground, anything.
I'll get in the car.
He know it. He know it too, Mr. Officer. Y'all hear me?
Following McMillan's testimony, attorneys for the state played multiple recordings, including the body camera footage of all officers involved and surveillance from inside of Cup Foods. The surveillance footage shows George Floyd in the store interacting with multiple people, even laughing with another customer at one point. A 19-year-old cashier testified Wednesday afternoon about the moment he realized George Floyd gave him a counterfeit $20 bill.
When I saw the bill, I noticed that it had a blue pigment to it, kind of how a $100 bill will have, and I found that odd, so I assumed that it was fake.
Okay. The cashier said he now feels guilt for the choices he made that evening. Outside of the courtroom, the community continues to protest, demanding justice for George Floyd. Protesters once again wrote names of those killed by police on locks and hung them on the fence surrounding the government center. Previous locks were cut off by the National Guard. For the Racial Reckoning Project, I'm Georgia Fort.
The Racial Reckoning Project giving us updates on the trial, the Derek Chauvin trial. What's that, Althea?
Oh, sorry. I have another clip of that, but we don't have to. It's just talking about what was happening yesterday, but we can run with this. Sorry, I must have gotten the not right clip for you there. Sorry about that.
It's okay. We'll forgive you this time.
Okay, thanks.
Like they were saying, this is the first week, and it's really hard. It's a hard watch. It's really heavy stuff, and it's going to be going on for a little bit longer. And you know, like we were mentioning before, Effie, I was asking you for a little bit more details, and you did confirm with me that it is the state versus Derek Chauvin.
Yeah.
And this.
Yeah. Sorry. So to recap a little bit of like what happened yesterday. George Floyd's girlfriend of 3 years took the stand and was talking about she recounted how they first met and like what their life was like, but also like prosecution had them talking about that they both had an opioid addiction, because that's what the defense, as was mentioned in that clip, that's what the defense is going to try to go after him for. And that at this point in the trial, it's not Chauvin's character that's on trial, it's George Floyd's character. And then she was talking about that they had both like gotten an opioid addiction from having chronic pain and having opioids prescribed to them to like deal with it, and that they had both like been wrestling with it, being sober, being not being sober, and just it was like very heart-wrenching to watch. So that was a lot of what happened yesterday, was his girlfriend on the stand.
And I did read in USA Today, because you're talking about the defense saying that the reason that George Floyd died was because of an overdose or something in that nature. Where then yesterday USA Today reported one of the people that actually were authorized to review the force like the use of force and the complaint in that situation was who was also a fellow a sergeant and served with Sherwin.
Yeah, sorry. They and also had then, a supervisor that pharmacy.
Yeah, and they themselves were saying that they could have ended their restraint while George Floyd was, you know, given up or just kind of on the floor. So I don't.
Yeah, once he stopped resisting, that's when you're supposed to not use that force anymore.
Which is by the, you know, they mentioned also the viral video, which I think, I don't know, the situation is, because a lot of us saw what happened, and, but there is also respecting, like, the process of having this play out in court the way that it should, although what makes me wonder is why did George Floyd, why were they, you know, guilty to a proven innocent, and now it's kind of, I don't know, I wish that there was, I wish there was a way to, if, you know, there was a counterfeit bill, sure, and maybe that could have just been addressed.
I'm pretty sure the bill wasn't even counterfeit in the end. Like, the cashier thought it was, and it wasn't.
I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. I, from what I've seen, the reports that it was indeed counterfeit, but, and I just don't understand how one man is just going to go on trial while another one's life is gone. And there was no trial for him, you know.
Yeah.
He got death, and that it's really hard. You know, it's really hard to even talk about this and do this episode because of how we know that this is just one out of many people that had the state, you know, for just being for it's very hard. But the trial, I think that, you know, like you're saying, it now that it's starting off with kind of you know, George Floyd's character being put on trial, where it's like, well, now you're giving trial, that's too little too late.
Sonia, you want to chime in here?
Yes, please. People want to talk about if what caused Floyd to die was that someone who wasn't didn't have his particular medical background, you know, wouldn't have died in that situation, and so it's not Chauvin's fault that he died. Well, you know, Bob Stockman is a name that most people around here don't know. And he died in 1988 of shingles, which is like chicken pox, but worse. It's like really intense chicken pox. But you know, that wouldn't have killed him if he weren't HIV positive, if his immune system hadn't been totally worn out by HIV. So we can say that he died of HIV. That shingles killed him because he's HIV positive. And I think it's fair to say the same thing about Chauvin killing George Floyd. That sure, he had health problems. And if that contributed to him dying, so did Chauvin's treatment. So did his, you know, his distress at Chauvin's hands, metaphorical hands, literally his knee, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a point well made. And I mean, yeah. So like, right now in the trial, the prosecution is calling their witnesses. And they're trying to like protect or like address what they think the defense is going to talk about before the defense starts calling their witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So like trying to bring in people who will talk about this opioid addiction. And like, we haven't even gotten to the medical examiner yet to talk about the actual cause of death and whatever the toxicology report said. But yeah, it's interesting that, well, and just kind of what does the defense have to grasp onto? And as you were saying, Tammy, right, like the video and all of this evidence, and now hearing from all of these witnesses who were passerby or who were paramedics called to the scene after Floyd was already dead, like it's interesting to see how the court will treat something that so many people have seen and understood from the video, from the coverage of all of, like, the racial justice protests that followed after it. It's like, how is the court reacting to that? The court, or his defense, I guess, is going to go after the idea that he had some pre-existing condition and some amount of fentanyl in his system. But I think that's a tough case to make, to be honest, because of all of the reasons that we've already talked about. Kneeling on anybody's neck for 9 minutes when they're pleading is not, how could you possibly say that that's like a rational use of force?
And you know, there, like I said before, because this was this was captured on video and distributed on a lot of different platforms by thousands of people. You know, the juror, I mean, people, every, you know, I doubt that the people who are, I mean, everyone in the trial saw it. And I don't think that there are many cases where everyone saw the crime that is, you know, being talked about in court. You know, sometimes, sure, you have like security cameras and stuff, but it was just so, and it, like you said, it sparked the whole movement around it. And it was caught on camera for over 8 minutes. So I think those images are something that's going to be very difficult, or I can only speak for myself, or difficult to get out of my head. I don't know, maybe I'll say you feel the same. So I can only assume that there are people that are related to the trial in one way or another that are, I mean, you know, the jurors, they saw, you know, they, it's not like something where they, you know, when you're, we all saw what happened.
Right.
I don't think that it makes sense to me that because there was the visual, we saw it visually, but so now they're trying to, you know, to come back with the defense saying that there's a, you know, the drugs were the reason in a pre-existing medical condition, just stuff that we can't visibly see. Because when you, the visual of it is very disturbing and straightforward. And then the eyewitnesses' accounts of saying that they, you know, that were treated like as an expert, because they were black belts, to say that they themselves recognized abuse or overuse of power. Mm-hmm. It's all just, I don't know, it's just all so disturbing. I'm like, how is this even, like, we all saw this, and I get it, we need trial, we need to right these wrongs in one way or another, but how many more of these type of trials are we going to have?
Yeah, and, you know, so many don't even go to trial, so many don't even end up with a grand jury acquittal. Definitely, like, the cultural impact of the video was huge, and that was something that last week the court was dealing with during their jury selection and throwing out a bunch of people because of, and part of the way that it, like, jury selection works is that both the defense and the prosecution get a certain number of vetoes, like hard vetoes, like this person cannot be in this trial, and the defense was trying to move the trial out of Hennepin County, which is like the county that Minneapolis is in, because they were like, oh, the jury pool here is too biased. And also, like, right before the trial had started, the city of Minneapolis issued a really big settlement with, like, financial settlement with George Floyd's family. And so there was also, like, that also got a bunch of jurors thrown out because they were like, well, the city already gave the family, like, awarded the family a really, like, hefty lump sum for what they did to their family member. So, like, what's going to go on in this trial? That was, like, a big topic of conversation last week. And I think it's also worth noting the people that were called to trial. Another one, which wasn't mentioned in the clip, but did take the stand, I want to say Tuesday, was a local firefighter, like a local paramedic, who happened to be walking by at the time and tried to intervene. And she testified that the cops told her that if you were really with the fire department, you would know that you need to back off. Like, she like came up, tried to identify herself, tried to like help Floyd out, say like get off of him, and that there's this guy, like you mentioned, with who has this like MMA background, who would know about this kind of stuff, who can also testify to it, even before we get to like the paramedics who came later, or the medical examiner's report about like time of death and stuff like that. I think it's also like kind of what we're saying about like having seen it from video and how it's been like digested. It's interesting to see how the prosecution is going to build a case to convince people who aren't as looped into that, maybe, or I mean, as the jury pool is right, like they had to pick people who they thought could be reasonably impartial. And so seeing that case built from the ground up without sort of like the larger context of the way that, you know, I think people by and large understood it is interesting, like piece by piece building up this, like that his officer, whoever Chauvin reported to, coming and saying, that's a, like, you can use a knee on the neck as a use of force, but you stop when somebody stops resisting. And he stopped resisting and was sitting on his neck until the paramedics came to check for a pulse and there wasn't one. And just like all of these pieces to try to, you know, build the most convincing case possible that this, well, and Chauvin's charged with second degree murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. So we'll see which of those is gonna, you know, be the most compelling.
Althea, do you know if these are three separate charges, or is it a kind of a nested sort of lesser and included thing?
That's a great question. I know that at the beginning of like jury proceedings, there was a back and forth about including that third degree murder trial, because one, like I think the judge originally threw it out, but then the appeals court said, you got to look at this again. And so the third degree count got added. But yeah, I'm not totally clear about that. I can look for information on that.
So for folks who aren't already up on what these things mean, a defendant can be tried on multiple charges, or they can be nested where, where the prosecution has to prove each charge individually. The alternative is lesser and included, where they try the defendant on this like greatest charge, and then if the jury feels that the prosecution's case did not merit a conviction on that charge, then they're asked to decide whether, in attempting to meet that higher charge, in meeting all the elements of that higher charge, did they in fact meet elements of a lesser charge?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the distinction there between multiple charges versus lesser and included.
Yeah. I'm doing some searching right now. Yeah, but second degree unintentional murder, that carries a prison sentence of up to 40 years. And third degree, which is, yeah, there's a quote from the Minnesota Attorney General saying that adding the third degree charge of murder in addition to manslaughter and felony murder reflects the gravity of the allegations against Mr. Chauvin. We look forward to presenting all three charges to the jury.
Mm.
And that's 25 years max.
Wow. Well, this is definitely, unfortunately, not over. And there are running reports, and I'm sure that Cable will also be, I know that, you know, this has been kind of a subject that a lot of programs have been talking about, so I'm glad to also be part of it. And Althea, like you said, the cultural outcomes of this of the murder of George Floyd, it things aren't going back to the way they were.
And it has spurred so many people, activists, organizations, families, individuals, kids. Like, you know, it had an impact on us. And I think that, I think we just kind of need to, I don't want to say wait and see, but, you know, just kind of pray on it and,
I think,
see what happens, yeah.
I think for, you know, for folks wanting to see Chauvin being held accountable for this kind of thing, like, I think that there are encouraging signs in that direction, but again, it's up to the jury. It's difficult to say what will happen, but it's also, you know, one thing we didn't mention, it's a big deal, the whole thing's being live streamed. You can watch the entire trial from anywhere and look up what we know about the jury and stuff like that.
I think that also it kind of talks on that cultural, how much the impact that it has, that it is being streamed live. It's just so intense watching it. You know, it's just really, it's so much. And I know that while people are watching it, they might become furious or depressed or something. So I just want, you know, if you are going to, it's heavy stuff. So, you know, take care of yourself while also learning about it. And you know, like you said, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it can be something out of left field, like a Hail Mary or something like that from the defense. So we'll just watch and see, and I'll definitely keep updating.
You ready for a pivot there?
I think we're ready for a pivot. We do have a beautiful Midway song by The Roots, "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around," and I really hope that it brings you a bit of mindfulness, a bit of rest of the mind, some peace of mind. We'll be right back. This is KBOO Portland. You're listening to The Gap. Are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. We're just listening to The Roots with the song "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around." I'm Tammy. On the line with me is the fantastic, lovely Althea. Hello, Althea.
Hello. What a good song.
It is a good song. The Roots are great, and that song's been, I'd say that was one of the top versions of that song. I love that melody. And of course, Sonia, our radio angel, keeping us on the air. Thank you so much. We're now pivoting to our second part of the show, and this is going to be a bit lighter, and we're going to be kind of talking, getting a little bit intimate, maybe talking about, you know, we're seeing how it's the springtime is coming, daylight savings is here, the days are longer, it's getting a little bit warmer. It seems like more people are getting vaccinated, feeling a little bit more comfortable being outside. Restaurants are opening up. And I don't know about you, but it seems like maybe love is in the air, just a little bit more than I've noticed in the past year. And I'm just wondering, our community question for the community, for our listeners today is, has COVID and dating and COVID, now that things are opening up, how are you feeling about dating? Is that something that you're going to be doing? Is it something you're pursuing? Is there a special someone that you've been Zooming with for the last few months and now you're maybe ready to take it to the next level? But what does that look like, knowing that we just, well, we're maybe, God willing, at the tail end of a global pandemic? Maybe you're going to be looking for something different in your new loved one. Maybe now you're thinking, could I spend a year in quarantine with this person? Will they take masks seriously? Will they not? So we really want to hear from you, the listener, the whole community, about your opinions, thoughts in relation to that. 503-231-8187 is the number.
Nice. You nailed the number.
Thank you. I've been practicing while we were on JK. You have any thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, weird time. I personally took the opportunity to disengage from that part of my life, which is liberating in its own way. But yeah, I know that's like, I mean, we kind of speculate all the time of like, what's it going to be like after, if there is an after. And I have a friend who's expressed that, like, no, that's like going to be the first question I ask somebody. Like, what did you do during COVID? Like, were you wearing a mask? What was your life like? You know, and if somebody was being reckless about it, it might be a like immediate deal breaker, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Interesting. So it's like retroactively judging a person by whether or not they're wearing a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, were you being careful? No? You went to a party? Click. Hanging up.
Do you think that there'll be a whole, like, did you take the Moderna or did you take the Pfizer vaccine type thing? Or Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah. Shout out. Sorry, I'm sorry. I only date people who've had Pfizer vaccine. Moderna. I don't.
Can you imagine?
I only date people who have more than 90% efficacy.
Oh, my.
66? Oh, sorry, your vaccine was studied at the global peak of the pandemic and your efficacy rate is lower. Why don't you take a number? might call you back later.
You're not even picky. You're just being honest about it. It's interesting. Sonia, do you have any takeaways? Anything
well,
to add about this?
As far as, like, this percent or that, I put a greater emphasis a greater weight on one's preferred, like, cacao content, you know? You know, if a chocolate bar, any chocolate that's below 55 is not worth my time. Generally, I want folks to remember that the fact that cases, the recent drop in cases means that what we'd been doing for the previous several months, or at least weeks, has started to work. And changing stuff up and loosening just as what we've been doing is starting to work is not the way to go. You're not, when you're out in the rain, I was going to say umbrella, but who uses an umbrella?
This is the Pacific Northwest. Get out of
when town. You're out in the rain and you're not getting wet enough to bother you, it's because you've got your hood up. You don't say, hey, I'm not getting wet enough to bother me, I don't need to wear my hoodie anymore. No. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, wearing this hoodie with the hood up is keeping me from getting, you know, wetter than I can deal with. So I'm going to keep my hoodie on and keep my hood up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we're seeing a spike. Now we're seeing a new rise in cases, you know, just in the last, you know, couple of weeks, be right after people start thinking, hey, I don't have to be as vigilant anymore. Gosh, I wonder if this very strong correlation is showing is because of a causal connection.
Yeah, got to buckle down for a couple more months until we get the vaccines.
It's like I saw a tweet said like, science, you know, like, you know, a line, you know, like they do. Science, here is some measure of protection against suffering and death. You just need to keep being careful at least through the end of April. America, LOL, no.
Yeah, there's a bunch of governors lifting their mask mandates already, which is upsetting. Oh, not to mention Miami Beach. Sorry, not to go on Miami Beach, but goodness.
And vaccines, as far as I've been able to tell, they don't keep you from contracting the virus. They just keep the virus from making you, you know, bothersomely ill.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
And they don't keep you from passing it... Hold on. And they don't keep you from passing it to others. And wearing a mask is far more effective at protecting others from you than protecting you from others. So we've still got to mask. Even if we've had a vaccine, you still need to mask and you still need to keep your distance.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. I think the CDC came out with data that Pfizer and Moderna are pretty effective at keeping you from getting it and spreading it. They don't have that data on Johnson & Johnson yet. But all three of those vaccines are 100% effective, as you mentioned, at preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and death. So again, that's critical, but it doesn't stop you from getting it, period. And because there are these more dangerous variants on the rise from different parts of the world, it's kind of a race against the clock. But to circle back to our question, thinking about dating after COVID, listeners, if you have thoughts on that, please give us a call, 503-231-8187. We would love to hear your perspective. Tammy, has the COVID time, that's not a good way to call it, but it's okay. Has the COVID time changed your perspective on dating?
Totally, yeah. Luckily, I'm not doing that, so I've been dating myself. It's been great. I'm quite a catch. I'm enjoying myself. But yeah, now that I'm thinking more of, I mean, especially in these very like charged times, you know, it's not just COVID. Ooh. I think it's like a lot of things that are adding on top of each other, and you're just kind of seeing how people are reacting or not reacting, and it's interesting to see what foot people are leading with, you know what I mean, the metaphorical foot. And it's been I think the introspection is something that I've definitely been enjoying a lot more, but you know, solid foundation, I mean, you can build on a solid foundation, so that's kind of more, I guess, where I'm headed towards. But again, we'd love to hear from the listeners. 503-231-8187. Post-corona dating. I've noticed that, you know, things again are opening up a little bit at a minimal capacity, and it's you know, got me to wonder about how do you even, you know, ask a person, like, you just ask them straight up, so what vaccine did you get? Oh, how did you act during the coronavirus? Like, and we go from there, like, you know, like your friend was saying, kind of, if you didn't, oh, that's a deal breaker. Like, I wonder if people have new deal breakers now.
This reminds me of Trevor Noah was doing a bit, I forget who the guest was, about like, we need a new social norm of like just how to introduce yourself. You know, you do name, pronouns, and where are you at with the current series. You know, so people don't accidentally like just blurt out spoilers. And so maybe you need a thing like, you know, your name, pronouns, and which vaccine you got.
It's like back in the day, it would be ASL. So I guess this would be like NPV, name, pronoun, vaccination.
Yeah, put that in your world bio, see what happens. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's weird to think about meeting new people. Like, I've met a bunch of people, like, online, and we're online friends, but taking that to the real world, what?
Yeah,
see, also, I have reason to believe that, like, you know, those in-person skills of seeing people that you haven't seen in a while or meeting someone new, maybe they've gotten a little lax in the pandemic. It's been over a year now. I saw some people that I knew at the grocery store, and they said, they're like, I'll see ya. And I had a little heart attack, because usually I go to the grocery store and I'm alone, and, you know, I'm thinking about what cereal am I going to buy, and hey, are the, you know, the Easter Cadbury eggs on sale? I love those. And it was like, I was like, oh, I forgot how to, like, talk to people. And they're like, oh, we got a cat. And I was like, that's cool. And they're like, what's up with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I still have a job. I'm like, living where I've been living. Like, I don't know. It's good to see you. Wow. So glad you're good, you know?
Oh, yeah, those social skills are definitely going to have to get oiled up, because they are not, because you can't mute yourself. You can't mute others. You can't just go off screen.
The idea of not being able to turn off your camera in a real life conversation. Like, this is what boomers have been making memes about for so long. Mm. Suddenly, like, I actually resonate with them.
Wait,
you know, I'm not.
Are you suggesting that, like, boomers can meme?
I'm just saying that I think that I don't even know if they're on this yet. I don't know if the boomers have heard about this. This is going to be true, and by the time they say it, it won't be true anymore. But the sort of idea of, like, oh, I'm, you know, Gen Z, they don't read books. They're just so deep in, you know, TikTok. They don't know anything, you know. The memes are not good. But, like, you know, boomers, boomer cartoonists out there, take this. You know, you can have this meme. I can't turn off my camera in real life. Is that closing your eyes? Maybe I just ask people to close their eyes. Hey, you just close your eyes for a sec.
You can ask, he goes, do you mind if I go off camera? And you just close your eyes.
Yeah, I just put on dark sunglasses. Dealing with something for a second. Oh, my cat's in the room, you know?
Yeah, I wonder, that'll be funny during dating, like during a date or something. Someone is like, yeah, I could see that, because a lot of people have been doing, like, Zoom dating and stuff like that, which is, I don't know. I just think of Zoom. I think of work. It doesn't seem like a very romantic space in my mind. But that's just Zoom has just been tainted. So it's not me. It's not me. Zoom.
Yeah.
You.
Pretty
Zoom. It's me.
Pretty early in the pandemic, I did get ordained as a minister. So.
Oh well, you heard it here, folks.
If you need an officiant, coming up on the 1 year mark.
Can you officiate people, like, on Zoom or something?
See, that was kind of the idea, just kind of as a goof. I don't know that you can. Again, this was early in the pandemic. I don't know that the government had their readings on that. And, you know, I think it's a little bit limited by the mail, because, like, you have to, like, there's a certain amount of time between, like, signing the wedding certificate and turning it in. I was concerned that, you know, long distance, people living in different places couldn't quite get it done in time. But yeah, people got married during the pandemic. People didn't have babies at the start, and then fully had a baby.
Yeah, this long. Time we're a year in, so there must be a handful of COVID babies, or, like, babies that were born during COVID times. But, wow, are people getting divorced during COVID too, but having to stay in the same house? Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know, I feel really bad for, like, kindergartners, like 5 and 6 year olds who've only ever been to school on Zoom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like a 1 year old now probably.
I've never seen another child.
I'm not sure what 1 year olds do, but they can't hang. I mean, I don't know if they necessarily hang out, but I don't know if, you know, how much hanging out they can do. Again,
1 year old to call
in. Thoughts around this, callers. 503-231-8187. That is the phone number. I'm just thinking of, like, 1 year olds hanging out. Yeah, but like you said, people, yeah, they did get married during the pandemic, and people met, people moved in. You know, the whole life goes on, but it's
I would love to hear how, because it seems like such an inconvenient time to do all of that for life to continue on. But, you know, that's...
Yeah. Obstacles. Lots of them.
Obstacles, yes. Again, one more time, 503-231-8187 is the phone number here.
Yeah. It's been an interesting time to, like, I don't know, to actually get to disengage from it, because I think there's less social pressure, you know? Like, if you see your friends, they're not going to be like, oh, how's your love life going? And you don't have to be like, it's not going well. Why are you asking me that question?
We have bigger problems, bigger issues.
Yeah, what if I told you I have bigger fish to fry right now? I'm not meeting new people.
Like, how's your day, my dating life? Ask me if I have enough toilet paper.
Well,
I'm making bread now.
I'm just asking about my starter.
Let me tell you about yogurt.
By the way, yeah. How have I grown during the pandemic? Great question. I've grown a bunch of yeast cultures. I'm doing my own kombucha. Would you like some?
Oh, there can be an unfortunate overlap there.
Mm. Oh, gross. Yeah, sure.
Another reason to wash your hands thoroughly.
Yeah, great. Bring that back. Yeah, remember when we were talking so much about washing your hands? And everybody was posting stuff on the internet, and they're like, hey, this is how you should really be washing your hands. Have you ever washed your own thumb? Gross.
Well, now, I have to say, the hand-washing thing, it stuck with me. I think it stuck with me. But now, I have my hand lotion. And I got, like, one of those, like, keychain hand sanitizers. So I'll tell you what. Yeah, that's been a huge change in my life. And now, if I meet someone, and they're not washing their hands properly or thoroughly, it's not necessarily a end all, but it's definitely a spike in the road, we'll put it that way. Yeah, I guess if people when in dating now, you know, taking back to the subject, I definitely am more conscious of other people's hygiene as well as my own. Like, and I it's not like in a read kind of way, it's just like, oh, you really like just, you know, not gonna wash your hands after the grocery store? Like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. You get back in the car and you didn't put hand sanitizer on? Do you want mine? You don't. Okay. Interesting.
Well, yeah. And I've only been like a frantic hand washer for the last year, but although I did work in kitchens for a while, but that was like, you know, professional hand washing.
Well, see, there you go. That's the way to wash your hands, as if you work in food service. Always wash your hands as if you're about to handle someone else's food. You should always be doing that.
Under your fingernails and everything. Yeah. Oh, another thing, the fingernails. That's always been a... dirty fingernails, can't do that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, they're exceptions, though. They're definitely exceptions.
Yeah, well, I mean, hygiene practices around the pandemic. One, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but... you know, knock on wood, where some wood, got it. I haven't gotten it. And it's also probably been, I was definitely thinking about this during like cold and flu season, that it was probably like the healthiest winter I ever had. Like, didn't have a serious cold, didn't get really sick and have to live with like a sore throat and be laid up in bed for a couple of days. And it's interesting to think about like how preventable the spread of the common cold is also. Like, if we're all washing our hands, if we're like, you know, or not
and
eating
away
after
from
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sneezing in someone else's face. Like, cover your cough. Well, being more conscious of those things, because it has a real impact. Go ahead.
Now you go, well, I don't know, maybe we could do a whole segment of this for this next week, because now that you're mentioning it, I think of, like, how our whole society has kind of become a little bit more conscious about it, because I go to the grocery store now, and they have, like, the wiping down of the carts and stuff, and they used to not have that, you know. I wonder. Yeah, that's interesting.
Just don't need to share all the germs. You could just I'll share some of them, you know. Some of them are unavoidable, but
I mean, it's like if you had your own little wipe, you know, you can do it for the, because not everyone, I think, I mean, I've never brought with me like a thing to wash to clean the the cart, but now that the store has it and, you know, provides it for me, I do it. Yeah, it's right there. Why not? And it also, like you said, it's like for the next person, you know, you clean it from the next person. So interesting. Well, I think we found next week's topic for the second half.
That's fantastic. Good. I'll make a note. We got a couple minutes left. If listeners want to call in, give us their thoughts about dating after COVID in your life that you want to take going forward in your dating life and not dating life. You know, we don't want to be your friends that are prying into, hey, how's your love life going? But you can give us a call at 503-231-8187.
I have a couple of remaining moments. We'd love to hear from you. To bring it back to the ship from earlier, we could say it can be clean sailing from now. No, that's not a thing people say. Smooth sailing from now on.
Adjective sailing.
Hygienic sailing.
Hygienic sailing from now on.
Not the kind of sailing that gets
wash your ship before you put before
Suez
you try to. Oh.
Canal. I was doing a Suez Canal joke. It's okay. Yeah. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was gonna say like wash your ship well before you put it in the canal.
Uh huh. That's good.
And after.
Why not? You know.
Talk about moonlighting.
Yes.
Get it? Because the sunset thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got me. It took me a second. Hey.
Here's a weird thing about tides is it's actually the Earth kind of bulging with the gravitational interplay between the Earth and the Moon, like, and turning and bulging into the water rather than the moon like pulling on the water with its gravitational influence.
Well, so whatever it is, if I was the moon, I'd be giving Earth an invoice because they definitely helped out.
Well, I mean, the moon and the Earth is like one system. It's not like it's kind of like.
But at least a commission, at least something.
But they aren't separate entities.
A stipend, perhaps?
With all of our Elon Musk technologies, you think that we guys will figure it out. But no, the moon has to intervene and be like, okay, I'll let me thrust these little waves for you real quick and boof. And that's a scientific way that happens too, by the way.
Thrusting and boof.
True science.
Waves.
Oh, the ocean is a fantastic mystery.
Maybe that's the new question if you're going to date somebody. Like, you better be able to explain to me how the tides work. Just some requisite knowledge here.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
They're professional people of the water. Like, I don't know if that happened by accident. Someone was like, you know, looking at the almanac, they're like, oh, don't worry about it. The moon is going to take care of it. And maybe that's why they had that tiny tractor just like kind of stalling until the real fixers came in. Yeah, the images from that are very silly. They're definitely meme-worthy. So this is going to be just about our time. But before we log off here on the Gap, KBOO Portland, we wanted to mention that it is the beginning of April, and thusly the beginning of our drumroll membership drive. And if you would like to support KBOO, you can go to kboo.fm/give. And we will really appreciate your donation. It helps us with the programming, with the lights, all of it, the internet. This is a mostly volunteer-produced, volunteer-powered radio station, your community local connection, and your donation will go a long way. Be a stakeholder here in your community radio station. And again,
yeah.
You go to kboo.fm/give. Go ahead, Althea.
Oh, I was just going to say, listeners can also text KBOO to 44321. You can text KBOO to 44321 to get donation information to help support us at your community radio station. We help people get connected to the radio. We take radio and people and we put them together. We train volunteers, give people the power of the airwaves. We make so many radio angels I don't know if that's a really good selling point, but yes, you can support us in our spring membership drive at kboo.fm/give.
And even during these uncertain times of the pandemic, we are still broadcasting and still doing trainings and volunteer orientation as well. So if you are interested, you can always go to kboo.fm and check that out if you want to also become a volunteer, as well as being able to donate online at kboo.fm/give. And the phone number, which I'll say I'll give in a second. You can also go with the snail mail. The mail is still operating. You can send a check to 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And Elfie, what was that phone number again?
It's 44321. You can text KBOO to 44321.
The new thing, high tech. On high tech now.
Yeah, we're getting into SMS texting. Who's with us? Have you guys heard about this? We're not BBSing, we're SMSing.
SMSing, yeah. No,
shout out BlackBerry, I guess.
Oh, right, because they started that. And like always, it's a pleasure to be here in the airwaves with everyone. And we'll be back next week to talk about more of the happenings and the musings of our culture and bridging the gap between boomers, zoomers, millennials, and everything in between. I am Tammy. Along with me is the fantastic, wonderful Althea Billing.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week.
Number one radio angel, Sonia, thank you so much. Happy Friday, and take care.
Bye, y'all.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you a KBOO member? Tell us why you support KBOO. Call our listener testimonial line and leave a message telling us why you support KBOO Community Radio. Testimonials will be used on air during our next